With 2000 drawing to a close, it seems safe now for us to say that Braille Note, the product released earlier this year by Pulse Data International of New Zealand, is the most significant new assistive technology product in the blindness arena to be released this year. And there's more to come in the Braille Note family, with new software for Braille Note being released shortly, and a couple of other note takers in the Braille Note line. To tell us all about these and more things to do with Braille Note, we're joined by Maurice Sloan, a very happy man because of the success of Braille Note. He is the product manager for Braille Note at Pulse Data International in New Zealand. Maurice, welcome to the program. The Braille Note, I guess, would have to be considered the hot product in blindness terms of 2000. Are you satisfied with how well it's doing?
Yes, Jonathan, it certainly kept us on our toes from a manufacturing perspective. Keeping up with the demand has been quite a challenge, and yes, it's certainly in the. I've been with the company for 16 years, and I don't think we've had a product that's hit the road running as well as the Braille Note has.
So, does that mean that there is some backlog in terms of orders? Once people order a Braille Note, can they get one relatively quickly?
We're getting on top of that. We have had the difficulty has been sort of getting the mix of 18 to 32 cells. In the initial stages, there was probably a lot more 32 cells, and then there was a sort of a trend over to some with 18, but we seem to be, we just got to get the sort of picture of what the likely mix of the two cell sizes are.
It's quite an interesting architecture you have in the Braille Note, in the sense that it's the same unit, it's just a different display that you attach on the top, and that must make for a lot of flexibility in terms of making sure you're not overproducing units that you don't actually need.
Yes, we've specifically made sure that the boards, the internal board and everything is the same in the Braille, both Braille Note models, and that board is also used in the new voice notes, so from that perspective it makes our scheduling of numbers and equipment a lot easier.
So for those who missed our interview in April, and before we move on any further, can you just give people a little bit of a summary about what the Braille Note is and why it's taken the market by storm?
The Braille Note comes in two models, the 32 cell model and an 18 cell model. It's basically a portable digital organizer for a blind user. The main difference between the Braille Note and previous products on the market is really its ability to handle Microsoft Word files, and also the fact that it's got an inbuilt POP3 email system, which can handle attachments in the email. So those attachments can be Microsoft Word, and you can open them up and have the choice to read them as a grade 2 document or in computer Braille if you prefer. So I think and the general sort of connectivity of the device to a Windows-based machine, if you want to transfer files with the Active Sync program, which is a utility which is part of Windows CE, you can connect your Braille Note up to your laptop or desktop, and it becomes like an external disk drive to your main machine, and you can just copy files either from your desktop to your Braille Note or vice versa, so it makes it quite a neat way of transferring files. Having sort of had 6 months of sales and experience, I think those three things are the main sort of ingredients to what people, like about the Braille Note. The other side of it, which is interesting, that we've known about it for years, is that the Keysoft program is a very intuitive and has lots of friendly online help, which is context sensitive, and it's one of the things I find very interesting is quite often now that people know about the Braille Note, you don't even get to the stage where you're showing them anything about Word or email. They're just so amazed at how friendly it is and intuitive to use that you can sell it on the basis of the Keysoft program that's been around for quite a few years anyway.
Yes, I think that Keysoft was one of the first programs in the industry really to get into the context-sensitive help in a big way, way back in the 1980s. And having had a chance to lay my hands on one for a few hours, a Braille Note, it is quite an intuitive thing. Once you get into the habit of pushing those chord commands to get help, it seems to give you help that you actually need at just about any point in the software that I was able to find.
Yes, we've tried to refine that for each version of KeySoft we've brought out over the years, we've added to that help system, and we have put a lot of effort in the Braille Note into, especially if you're, you know, going, you know, maybe setting up your initial directory of services and things like that for email, and you get to a situation where you want to change the phone number, the help that you want at that stage is a reminder of how do you get in and, you know, edit that field. So those types of things are context sensitive and they're, you know, relevant to where you are basically at the time.
I suppose that one of your target markets is people who do a lot of travelling. They need portable computing. And one of the things that was interesting to me when I saw it was that there is extensive support for alarms that will actually wake the unit up. So you can have the unit switched off and not waste batteries. And then if you have an appointment or you want to be woken up in the morning, it turns on and does its thing.
Yes, the planner is a sort of a page per day diary. And so you've got the option, you can put freeform notes just in the top of the day you want. You can schedule times for an appointment, so you can have them at sort of 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, next time you come in. It'll schedule those times in the correct order for you. If you add another one at 11 o'clock, it'll put it between the previous two. You've got the option, once you've scheduled those times, to add an alarm, and which will, as you say, if the machine's turned off, it'll wake up. And the same thing there, you can set the amount of lead time, that pre-warning that you get. So you might have an 11 o'clock appointment with a 15-minute warning, and so at 10:45 it'll beep at you and advise you that there's an alarm. And basically when it beeps, you can go to an alarm options menu, which you can either go to that appointment in your diary and find out why, or if you know what it's for, you can just cancel it.
Connectivity with mainstream applications is a really big deal for those people who are in work or who are seeking work. Are you looking at some point down the track at making that planner compatible with Outlook 2000, which seems to have the primary market for that sort of thing?
Yes, I guess our first aim in that thing is the address book, because obviously a lot of people have spent a lot of time creating an address book in their desktop or laptop machines, and one of the advantages of having the Windows CE platform there is that there is a lot of similarity between the structure of the two devices, and one of the areas that we would hope to have sorted out by sort of February next year is the ability to connect your Braille Note to a desktop and have your Outlook Express transferred over into the Braille Note.
The software in the Braille Note itself, is that quite easily updated? For example, once people get their original Braille Note and you do updates, are they able to reap the benefits of that themselves without getting it back to the factory?
Yes, all units shipping with 8 megabyte user memory. Now, we use up to 1 megabyte of that as a upgrading facility, and if you put a new copy of the KeySoft program in that user memory space, it when the machine resets, it checks that memory and will load that program. So it can either be provided on a floppy disk, it fits on a floppy disk, or they could download it through email, whatever.
And I understand you're about to release, is it the first software upgrade for the Braille Note since it's been out?
Yes, we've been very fortunate, due to the great job that Jonathan Sharp, our main sort of software engineer, did here, and all the people that assisted with testing. We haven't had to do any sort of previous fixes to the software, but inevitably with a program of this complexity, there's a few bits and pieces that don't do quite what they're meant to. So we're about to release a version that fixes those up and adds a few extra features, like the active sync in the initial model only worked over the serial cable at 115 kiloboards. In the new release of software, you can use the infrared ports and go up to a megabit per second. So you're looking at 10 times sort of increase in the speed of file transfers.
That's a phenomenal rate of file transfer, really.
Yes, it certainly makes it very snappy, and the infrared probably the full potential of that hasn't been sort of captured by the users at this stage. I know some you know, users really like the infrared and the lack of wires, because you can get sort of infrared receiver devices that you can just plug in with your in series with your parallel printer cable, so you can just sort of wander up to your printer and point the Braille note at it and print to it, and away you go. So there's no cables to connect or anything.
There's also an increasing number of cell phones that use infrared to kind of act as a modem when you're on the road. Does Braille note work with those?
We have had a couple of people using it in that way. We haven't done any sort of in-depth experiments ourselves. Most of those devices work at quite a slow speed anyway. I think they're about 9600. I know my cell phone is capable of working in that way, and it basically runs at 9600.
And the new software that you're releasing, is that a free upgrade to existing Braille Note customers?
Yes. What we've done is that obviously those people that you know, got on board with the Braille Note early on, we're sort of the intention long term is that there'll always be a 1 year upgrade path for sort of bug fixes and enhancements that we put in. And for the first people, we're basically saying anyone that bought it this year, that's right up to the end of 2001, they'll be able to participate in any upgrades that come out in that time.
Are you planning on a regular schedule? I know that some vendors try and do two small releases a year and try and time it for CSUN and closing the gap. You have Blazy, for instance, that pretty much as sure as clockwork will have an update out every July in time for the American conventions. Or are you looking more to update as the need arises?
No, we are aiming to do two per year is our intention at this stage. So we'll be looking at sort of February, March next year for the next release. As I say, the area that we're looking at there is that Outlook Express synchronisation, the address book type of thing.
Okay. The hardware in the Braille Note, or some hardware issues, the first one that we've had a lot of comment on, as I believe you have too, is the noise of the Braille Note keyboard, and I understand that's already been dealt with.
Yes, all Braille Notes that ship from the 1st of November have a quieten keyboard, which is considerably quieter than the models prior to that, and we will be having a kit that goes out to the agents, and what Humanware is intending to do as units come in for service, they'll replace the keys with the quieten key set free of charge to the user.
Yeah, I took a listen, as it were, to the Braille Note keyboard at the WBU General Assembly where you were exhibiting, and it certainly is a lot quieter. I would think it's now comparable to other note takers on the market.
Yes, that's true.
Are there any plans to even do better still and make it quieter than other note takers on the market?
I guess there's always, you know, room for looking at that area. We certainly, you know, one of the whole aims that we're trying to do here is to listen to the customers, what they're telling us, and you know, both in features and the functionality of the machine. So we're certainly, you know, with an open mind to keeping the equipment on the improve sort of thing.
Now, people who subscribe to technology-related newsletters, I think undoubtedly will have seen a couple of weeks ago the announcement that you did co-jointly with Microsoft about support for e-books. This is really quite exciting. Can we start from the beginning and talk about what an e-book is?
Okay, basically the e-book is the Microsoft's books that that Microsoft are looking to publish, which comply to their e-book format. And Microsoft in that end have developed their own reader software to read those books. Now, their long-term intention is to have their own portable reader, which is basically the size of a standard book, which is basically just a screen and a processor inside. You can download your books to it and visually read them off the screen. Now, the the key thing here is it's a very visual thing. It can handle more than one book. Obviously, the amount of books that you can put in it is just really limited by the storage. So that's their long-term aim there. Now, what they've done as a sort of an interim measure, they've released their reader software to run on PCs, standard desktop PCs. Again, it's not accessible at this stage via screen readers, so it is very much only in the visual market at the moment. And what they're working on in the background is the encryption technology to get it into their other platforms for the actual standalone book reading systems.
What are the signs in terms of take up by publishers? Are they going to come on board with this initiative?
Yes, one of the reasons that we've been interested in this alliance with Microsoft is that they've looked at it from a total perspective and said the only way that this is going to work is that if we can, Microsoft in turn have alliances, to ensure that books are available, and they've worked in closely with Barnes and Noble, and part of the whole design of the system here is to make sure that the publisher and ultimately the author can be assured that of the integrity of the book, that when a person downloads a book, they can't give that book to 20 other people with no royalties ending up back at the author. So they've looked at the total problem of getting the book out to the customer and also ensuring that the author, gets their fair due as well from that exercise.
So can we look forward to a day not too far down the track where when the latest Wilbur Smith or Stephen King or whatever novel comes out, that blind people will be reading this with their Braille note at the same time that sighted people are running to their bookshops to buy it?
Yes, the reason for the alliance here is that the e-book software, the reader software as it is today, is a very simple to use thing. That the whole design philosophy from Microsoft is to make it a very clean screen from a visual perspective, and there's virtually no icons or anything on the screen. If you want to change the page number, you sort of click to the right of the page number and it advances. If you want to go backwards, you click to the left. If you can go into Words and just sort of highlight a whole section of text, as if you were using a highlighter pen, you can put your own notes in, so annotations. And our aim is to provide that same functionality in the Braille note and using the same sort of intuitive, easy-to-use features that we've already got in the Braille note. So we're looking to continue that into the implementation of the book reader and give a blind user the same functionality as the sighted user has.
So does the alliance mean that Microsoft is somehow contracting with Polestata to develop this for you to develop it?
No, it's more of a partnership in that our expertise is in making a very intuitive user interface. That's where we feel we have a lot of expertise over the years, and we've sort of got a proven record in that area. So I guess where we see ourselves going here is to look at functionally what the e-book reader does now and say, okay, this is the method of operation that we would propose to get that same functionality, and we would basically end up sending a whole lot of codes across to the interface with the ebook reader, and Microsoft would develop the other side of that took that information and implemented it into either looking up the dictionary or reading a section of text or whatever. So our side of it is going to be the design of the user interface and giving information to the Microsoft Reader in a form that it can pass back what we need to give the blind person access to the books.
Well, it may be wishful thinking on my part, but it seems to me that in order to allow the Braille Note user to purchase and download these books, that must also mean that some sort of web access can't be too far away.
Yes, in the ultimate, we're still in the early sort of stages of deciding, mapping out the whole project at this stage. Obviously, the ultimate aim is to have a system whereby you can connect onto Barnes & Noble with your Braille Note, browse your list of books, make a choice, search for books. Once you've done that, make the purchase and have your book downloaded to you. So the ultimate machine, you know, would have browser capabilities, which, as you say, will provide the machine with browser capabilities for other websites as well.
Hooray. Maybe in the first instance it might mean, though, some sort of proprietary script-based interface to Barnes & Noble just to get the product out, perhaps?
Yes, well, there's several levels that we can go for. It just depends on the sort of total thing. There's still quite a lot of work to be done by both parties, ourselves and Microsoft, because obviously one of the key areas here is retaining the integrity of the information, as I say, from a point of view of ensuring that the author does get royalties on every book that's sold. So Microsoft have still got to get the encryption mechanism set up, which, you know, will be secure for the Braille Note. So there's quite a bit of work involved in that on their part as well.
When do you think Braille Note users will see this technology in the products that they use?
I suspect that at a first level, we could have one level of implementation is to implement the functionality of the book reader as it is at the moment, but with public domain books, which could be, you know, just got on a floppy disk or whatever, or from a FTP site where you could just download that particular book. That's one thing. That is perfectly feasible, sort of probably from March to June next year. I think the browser side of it, with the buying off the website and things, we could be looking towards the end of 2001 before that's fully functional.
See, while we're on this sort of subject, PDF must be another big one that you would get a lot of requests for.
Yes, we haven't had a lot of requests, although I have seen that, two or three people have actually mentioned it to us, but at this stage we haven't looked at that.
So all of these possibilities, though, and it seems that the possibilities are virtually endless, are all made possible by the underlying CE architecture of the Braille Note. Now, I want to give you a chance to comment on something that I keep seeing coming up on lists. I have no idea where it comes from, but there is a suggestion that keeps coming up that says that, in fact, CE is now virtually obsolete technology and Microsoft have moved on. True or not true?
No, that's not true at all. I mean, I think even if you looked at it from a Microsoft perspective, the standalone book reader that they're developing, and we've been sort of fortunate to see prototypes of that device, is basically a CE-based device, and so I don't think they'll be pouring the amount of energy and resources they are into the product if it was going to disappear tomorrow. I think just as in the Windows environment, there has been emerging from the NT and the straight Windows, and as time goes on, the difference between the professional sort of platform and the domestic platform will become sort of less and less and a bit more grey. That the same thing will tend to happen in the Windows CE thing. It may have a slightly different name. It may become Pocket PC rather than Windows CE, but every indication we've had from Microsoft, and we are working closely with them, obviously, is that Windows CE is around for some time to come yet.
You've not been tempted yet to look at some sort of screen reader that would give open access to any Windows CE application, let's say Internet Explorer for CE and Windows Media Player for CE, just let the user run those apps?
No, we haven't at this stage. One of the challenges we have at the moment is we can come up with quite an impressive list of things that we would like to do with the product, and we've just got to make sure that we are, picking things off that that we can handle in the time frames and to keep the product improving and coming out. So there is a lot of flexibility with the Windows CE platform, obviously, and you know, we're aware of a lot of the capabilities that the machine has latently in it, and we will be looking to utilise those in the future, that's for sure.
Yes, I'm sure the worst type of consumer is people like me who know what it's capable of but don't have to sit down and work out the priorities and the programming side of it all. But how do you determine what gets priority and what ranks highly over another possibility?
To some extent, it comes down to looking at obvious holes in the product. If we felt I guess in the address list scenario, at the moment you have to enter your address list into the Braille Note, and we all know that it's quite a time-consuming process. And if you've already done that in Outlook, obviously it'd be lovely if you could just pull them across. So that's a sort of a solution that's sort of waiting there to have an answer, you know, done for it. And we obviously that comes to the top fairly quickly. And the other one is the browser thing, because a lot of people are anxious to have, you know, browsing capabilities. So again, that's a wee bit of a no-brainer, and that's the next logical area to be looking at.
Are you going to embark upon public beta cycles for your new software?
Yes, what we're doing at the moment, the release that is about to be released, is we have a beta testing group which are testing that out, and we're hoping within the next 1 to 2 weeks that we would put a public version out on the Braille Note list, and that could then be, you know, tried by users off that list.
Yes, it's great to see that the company is running a list, which I've been on and off, and good to see also that the top guns, as it were, of this technology aren't shielding themselves. I've seen messages on that list from, you know, Jonathan Sharp and other key people involved in the programming. So it's a really good way to get in touch with the experts and also perhaps influence in some small way the Braille Note's development.
Yes, from our point of view, it's an excellent forum, because we're actually hearing from real users what their, you know, problems they're experiencing, or the nice things that they like about the product. So it is a very direct method of getting feedback, and I think it's a fantastic, you know, thing to have there. And we certainly you know, monitor that list every day and watch what's being said and listen to the comments that are made.
Let's talk about the voice notes then, which is a whole new line of product, as I understand it, derived from the Braille Note family. Can you fill us in about that?
Yes, the voice notes, of which there's two models, there's a voice note BT, which is has a Braille keyboard and voice output. So the difference between this device and the Braille Note is that it doesn't have the electronic refreshable Braille. And it also doesn't have the thumb keys down the front, which are normally used for navigating through with the Braille display. So basically it's just got 8 keys on the top plus a spacebar and speech output. Other than that, it is functionally identical to the Braille Note. So it has the infrared port, the inbuilt modem, the active sync capability for connecting it to a desktop, the Microsoft Word compatibility, email, etc. So it's the software functionality is exactly the same except for the Braille display. The other model is the Voice Note QT, which has the QWERTY keyboard, and again, well, there's a subtle difference, I suppose, in that the BT is basically, when you turn it on, as a Braille type device. It assumes that your preferred starting point would be a grade 2 Braille document, whereas on the QT it's coming at it from a text point of view, so you're typing in as a text document.
Can you use the QT as a Braille keyboard? You know, you have,
yes.
Some, yeah, okay.
Yes, we've used the we allow people to use the keys on the home row as Braille keys if they want to do that.
All right, so you've got the best of both worlds. And I presume that because there's no Braille display technology, which tends to add a lot of cost, that these are quite a bit cheaper than the Braille Note ones.
Yes, the normal selling price is $19.95. At the moment, we've got a special for people that place orders before the end of the year to $17.95. But so it is considerably cheaper than the Braille cell models.
Gosh, it is considerably cheaper. It'd be nice to think that at some point the cost of Braille technology goes down. Do you think that's ever going to happen?
Yes, it's probably difficult because you've only got probably about three manufacturers of cells in the world, and that's probably a contributing thing to keeping the cost up. Plus the fact that there is a lot of, you know, very small, intricate mechanics in a Braille cell, and to get the eight pins all in that one cell working the way they're meant to, it is fairly fine tolerance work. So unless someone comes up with a vastly different method of making that happen, the price will probably be always fairly high.
Now, with all of these units, you've got the word translation, which you've made a couple of references to. How does all that come out in the wash? If you do a document in the Braille Note and then you save it as a Word file, or perhaps the reverse, if you import a Word file, how are things like formatting and layout preserved?
If we started from the point of view of if someone gave you a Word file, or you, which you could either get through email as an attachment, or they could give it to you on a disk or a memory card, or you could pull it over through ActiveSync, so you could get it through all those mechanisms. If that document has been a typical Word document with, you know, it might have a centered heading and 20-point aerial or something, and the base of it might be 15-point or whatever, and it's got indents and bulleted points. Those, when you bring it into your Braille Note, you can read through. What you don't know in the Braille Note is what the font characteristics are of the document you're pulling through. But you can read that document. If you go in and add text into that document and then export that document again, it will retain the same format as it was in that part. So if you added a word in the heading and it was a 20 point, the word would go, when you exported that document out, it would be in 20 point as well. If you're starting at the Braille Note end and you've just generated a document which you've done as a grade 2 document for ease of getting it done, and then you think, I want to attach this as an email, when you attach it to an email, it'll prompt you, do you want to change the format of this document? If you say yes, you've got a choice of converting it to Word at that point, or a ASCII file or whatever. But that document basically would go out as a fairly just a vanilla document. It wouldn't have any font size information in it. But at the other end, it would come out as a Word document, so it could be opened in Microsoft Word.
Will you look at some point at enhancing the font and formatting information so we can use styles and all the other fun things that you can do with?
One of the other main items that we had on our agenda, and originally it probably was the next main thing to happen, was the ability to actually generate a Microsoft Word style of document right from the Braille Note, so that you could, you know, do headings and various styles similar to what you can do in Word, and have a proportional font output. At the moment, if you generate a document in the Braille Note and you print it on an ink printer, it is a courier style, 10 characters per inch document. And one of our things high on the list is to have a system where you can actually generate a proportional font document, which again you could take over into another machine, or if you were just generating it for the sake of printing it out and wanting a professional looking document, you could do it all from the Braille Note.
You were talking about the possibility of brailing the file in grade 2 and then going through the back translation process and then converting it to a Word document. So there are a couple of processes there. What experience have users related to you about the quality of both, well, I guess both the forward and the back translation for Braille?
It's pretty good, actually. I think the translation program we use is actually the same translator that's used in the Mountbatten product, so it's been around for quite some time, we've had very positive feedback in terms of the back and forward translation.
Now, I noticed that you've adopted the kind of VersaBraille style interface for the Braille, that when you see a new paragraph, you get the $P symbol to tell you that there's a new paragraph there. So people who go all the way back to the VersaBraille will be familiar with that.
Yes, we did. It's a North American sort of standard. There's a whole heap of different codes to mean different things, whether you've got centered lines or indented indents and new lines, new paragraphs, new pages. So there's a whole set of characters for that. And one of the features on the... We have different reading modes on the Braille display. And one of the comments from the first version of software was that we have a reading mode where only tabs and new line markers are shown, and we've got an ability there to get rid of those in a reading mode so that you don't have any of the dollar symbols coming up if you're just interested in trucking on through reading a large amount of text.
Now, that's the Braille note and the new... Are the voice notes out right now?
We're doing our first production run of voice notes at the moment, so we're looking to ship those in December. So, yes, there's about 10 or 12 of them floating around at HumanWare and in America out on the road for people to use and try. And we're just in the sort of first production run at this stage.
If I have a competitor's note taker and I want to trade in, is there any way to do that at the moment?
I'm probably not the person to ask that. I know in the initial stages of the launch of the Braille Note that HumanWare were offering a trade-in deal for people that had the Braille, our previous companion products. I'm not sure on the Braille Lite front.
If people want to know more about Braille Note, you're still maintaining the BrailleNote.com website?
Yes, we are, yes.
And what can people find there at the moment?
Basically, it's specs on the different model products and also links to the press releases on the alliance with Microsoft on the e-book reader. And I guess it's been all on in the first 6 months, but as time goes on, we will try to sort of consolidate what we have on that site to make it a friendly site with, you know, useful information on. We're working on sort of tapes that provide people a good overview of what each of the products do from a demonstration sort of point of view to highlight the sort of use of the machine and its ease of use, and we'll have that available on the site as audio downloads as well.
Well, we've had a lot of requests for us to do this interview, and I really appreciate you giving up some of your time, and no doubt we'll keep in touch as you have more exciting developments to announce.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. It's a pleasure to talk to you.